I'm Sunny Kane, and you're listening to the next faith-filled step right here on Pilgrim Radio. Each week, we'll explore simple, practical ways to respond to God's Word in our everyday lives. Let's choose wisdom over willpower, purpose over pressure, and take the next faith-filled step together. One day, one moment, one decision at a time. Well, friend, I am so glad to be with you again this weekend, right here on the next faith-filled step. If it's your first time, you know what we love talking about? We love talking about the forward-moving life as pilgrims on a journey. And too often in this world, we forget that we are pilgrims as Christ followers. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We say that in speech, but yet our hearts and our minds, we get very caught up on what we see happening around us. We get focused in on our circumstances, our worries, our difficulties, and we allow them to define us. Or we look at the culture around us, we are being inundated by it. And while we're people who want to follow after God, sometimes culture's messages, they seep into our hearts and our spirits. And so what we really love doing on this program is, first of all, we want to remind you, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And we're walking this crazy path together. Our job is to keep our eyes fixed on eternity, to look into God's Word, and to walk according to what we learn there, right? We've got to move the message of the Word of God through our hands and our feet, living our thank you, Jesus, in this world. But it turns out His ways really are better. And so when we walk by revelation, meaning responding to what God is revealing in His Word. And we don't have to know the whole path ahead, by the way, right? Because we have got the ultimate guide, our tour guide through this world. And if we would just lean into Him, cling to Him, follow His ways, we would walk with a whole lot more peace. And so we like to say, let's together just take one faith-filled step at a time. Well, one of culture's messages that seems to seep into us is that of the caring of our bodies. And I'm telling you, this is a topic that has been around for so long. We see diet culture and we watch people kind of get really absorbed in it. It seems like you can't turn on the television, you can't, you know, look through a magazine on social media without being inundated by how to take better care of your body. And on one hand, we'd like to do away with all the messaging, but ultimately we do have bodies that we have been given and trusted with from God. And so how do we care for our bodies God's way? What does it mean to steward the bodies that we have been given? Well, I have a really incredible guest that I got to sit down with. And what she really is pointing to is that any care for our body has got to be on the foundation of what she calls whole body theology. This is the message of Imago Dei. And my prayer is through this message that you would not only be encouraged, that you would know that you're not alone, but that you would find just one step that you might be able to take this week in walking out this journey right here in this crazy world and walking a life of faithfulness, stewarding the body God gave you. So before we dive in, let me tell you a little bit about my guest. She is a best-selling author of multiple books and Bible studies, including Jesus Over Everything and her latest, which we're here to discuss, Body and Soul. She is a sought-out Bible teacher for her wit and bold bottom-line approach and the founder of several online communities. She is a seasoned book and ministry coach, and she is the host of the popular Jesus Over Everything podcast. More importantly, she's a wife, a mom, a lover of laughter and good food and the Bible, and a self-professed feisty work in progress. Well, here's my conversation with Lisa Whittle. Lisa, I'd love to welcome you to the next faith-filled step here on Pilgrim Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Well, knowing that I was going to be sitting across from you today to discuss your brand new Bible study, Body and Soul, which offers a biblical look at the whole person God created us to be, I went ahead and connected with a few of our listeners to ask them what words that they would use to describe their relationship with their bodies. And I heard words like not enough, failure, frustration, shame, and a constant chase for freedom and comfort in their own skin. And it seems that we have minds that are focused on our own bodies, hearts that dwell in shame. And yet as Christ followers, we may know the truth, but yet there is a struggle to access and walk in freedom from it all. So I'd love to hear the backstory on what compelled you to write this study. And can you share how the world's view of body image has impacted you personally?
Yeah, those are familiar words for sure. What compelled me to write the study was my own sort of dissatisfaction with what I call body positivity hype culture, and feeling like the motivational speeches, the, you know, memes on social media, the conversations that even have been somewhat permeating the church really didn't do justice to the weight of what I have carried in my own spirit for all of my life, practically, about the way I felt about my body. The circumstances that I've lived through, the experiences, the self-obsession, the self-loathing, the guilt, the shame, the wrong ideas, the things that were put upon me and taught to me, not taught to me, all of it, all of the words, the terms that you just expressed, that other people have felt, all of that, lived through all of that. And I felt like that the hype that I was preached by secular culture just was almost insulting, to just tell me to pick up some pom-poms and say, you know, I love my body's good and all that, and just not honor what I've been through in my body, the scars that I bear on the inside and on the outside from things that I've been through. And I just felt like the stories that I hear from friends, from people that I've served and ministered to for so many years, it dishonored them as well. And I just sought to not only experience something much deeper, more meaningful, more impactful, more lasting, but also something that would perhaps finally set me free. And I remember before I started writing this study and looking to scripture, I prayed and said, God, will I ever be free? And ironically, the thing that has always transformed me through any process of life, any emotional distress I was going through, anything that I was struggling to understand, it's always been a scriptural process. And yet, I think for a lot of us, and certainly for me, I had never really looked to the Bible to understand my body. I'd always, you know, just gone on a different diet plan or looked to a different, you know, fitness expert to figure out some new way of being motivated or fixing my body. And those always had short-term results. I certainly met body goals. I certainly, you know, was able to lose weight for a period of time or fit into a pair of jeans or look good for a wedding, some goal that I had, but it never lasted and it never gave me that true freedom and peace that I was looking for. And the release of the consuming thoughts about my body. And so, you know, I certainly knew Bible verses. I'd learned Bible verses in my life, but this was completely different. And to your question about how have the lies of the world about body image impacted me, I think there is no end to how that they have impacted me. It has certainly made me live my life in comparison, walking into rooms and saying, am I the biggest in the room? Am I the smallest in the room? How do I measure up? It's made me self-loathe. It has made me try to be someone that I'm not. And it has made me live my life consumed with thoughts of myself, which never ends up good. And so I think all of those reasons are the same reasons why your listeners have responded in the way they have.
Yeah, and I can so relate to that. Will I ever be free from this? I can think of moments in my own journey where maybe there would be this, you know, like my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And that would mean, so I should deny myself, count calories, get as skinny as possible because I bear the image of God. So there would be these Christian words and scripture that I would attach to it, but felt very disconnected from the freedom that you are talking about. And do you feel like it is possible as you've gone through this journey? And I know we're going to get into that a bit today, but to just give our listeners a bit of hope, do you feel like it is possible for us to have freedom this side of heaven in this area?
I do. I don't believe perfection is possible, but I do believe a measure of freedom is possible. And I do believe it is a large measure of freedom is possible. And I do believe that's scriptural. You know, it is for freedom Christ set us free. I do believe that because I also have experienced it for myself. I'm not a young woman. I'm not 20 years old. I have with so much life ahead of me where I can't make that claim. I have lived over 50 years of my life. And I would say probably since I was 12. So let me back up and say 38 years of my life, almost 40 years of my life in a way that has not been free. Consuming thoughts, you know, obsession about being thinner, being looking a certain way, image, all of those kinds of things. And I can't make you be in my body and be in my mind to understand and believe me. All I can tell you is from a testimony of what is true. And I still do my due diligence with my own body, which is so important. This is not to say, you know, don't go to the doctor and check your levels and make sure that you're where you need to be. I mean, I am actively in the middle of menopause, so it would be wrong for me not to care for my body in a tangible way. And that is part of doing the work with living with what I call a glory mindset based on 1 Corinthians 10:31. The difference though, Sunny, is that I live according to what scripture says rather than what an expert says or living with a body goal, which were all things that I had in my mind and what I wanted to do with completely different sets of rules. And that never gave me the freedom I was looking for. You know, the Bible and what the Bible teaches us will always give us freedom and peace. That's across the board, whether we're talking about the body, whether we're talking about, you know, money, whatever we're talking about. The Bible is the guideline for life. And I think what we've done in our bodies is say, well, you know, let me compartmentalize my life. Here's what I do for work. Here's my rest life. Here's my sex life. Here's my eating life, all that kind of stuff. But we are created body and soul. We're created one whole person. And so as we understand ourselves, which is what the whole point of the study is about, and what the Lord took me through personally, as we understand ourselves, we live differently. And there is a freedom in that I had never had before, which then drives decision-making for how we eat, for how we conduct ourselves with work, for how we rest. You know, we have a million books on rest, and some of them are great and they've got great practical tips. But unless you really truly understand how Christ came and died, not only to give us life eternal in his crucifixion and his resurrection, but how he came to give us rest in our bodies in this life, you won't understand rest. And you can do all the things to try to go to bed on time and move your phone away from your desk, you know, your nightstand next to you and all that kind of stuff. But you're never going to have the kind of freedom in your body with rest that you actually need, because it's not about necessarily the tips and the hours and laying down on time. All those things are great and do that, but it comes from something deeper.
It's interesting when you were talking about the compartmentalization, just thinking of that, in my own life is I would say on one side, I have had this, it's like these segments of nourishment, movement, diet, weight loss, menopause. Like I put those over here. And then on the other, there is this this mind part of me that knows dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, imago Dei, purpose, all of those kinds of things. And then I would say even this other place that would be more the trauma I've stored, the lack of safety I once had inside of myself. Those were kind of this other compartment. And in that, this is so complex. How can we make sense of all of these compartments? And more importantly, build a bridge to wholeness.
Well, this is where the whole body theology comes in. This is where just learning, I mean, the Bible is incredible however you read it. The problem with understanding our body is just reading a verse here or there and trying to then make sense of all of the parts of us will not work. A lot of us have tried that, right? And I think we've had good intentions, and I firmly believe, you know, for me, for you, I'm sure for a lot of listeners, we have truly wanted to honor God in our body as, you know, housing the temple of the Holy Spirit. It hasn't been for lack of good intention. It's just been for lack of real understanding of the full picture. And so before I started writing this, never before had I looked at the full picture of Imago Dei from Genesis to Revelation, resurrected body. I'd never looked at the full picture of it. And that's why it's really important to see this in a whole body theology and understanding Christ and what he did in his body connected to us, so that we will truly understand how to have our whole personhood in a daily decision-making process. It's a theological underpinning. In the study, I construct a house and I show us how this is the foundational piece. So a lot of, just kind of a crude illustration here, we've tried to build a house being sort of a body mindset, right? So we've tried to build this house without a foundation. We've put up curtains on the windows. We have hung pictures on the wall, all this kind of stuff. And that's been sort of our, you know, body thought process. We've been like, oh, here's my trauma piece over here, my counseling life, you know, here's my, all of these different pieces like you've been talking about. But without this foundation of understanding who we are from start to finish, it all crumbles eventually. And like you said, we have short bursts of progress. We feel good for a time, but it never lasts. And, you know, don't take my word for it. Think about your own life. Anybody listening, think about your own life. Have you ever had that true lasting peace in your body where you don't think about it? I mean, most people have said to me, in fact, I can't think of one who hasn't said to me, I just don't want to think about this every day anymore. I just don't want to be dwelling about my body, wake up in the morning and look at it like I do every single day anymore. And I can just tell you that that has truly happened for me since understanding who I am start to finish. I just do not look at myself the same way anymore. I don't. I can't ever again.
So in what you just said, for the listener who just kind of grabbed a hold of that phrase, whole body theology, and you described it a bit there, how would you define that in the simplest of terms? What is whole body theology?
Yeah, simply stated, it's a biblical belief system of God's creation of us in our entire personhood, body, and soul. So just think about your belief system about family, your belief system about politics, your belief system about anything. This is your entire belief system about your body, biblically, your entire personhood, body, and soul. So it doesn't become about information about supplements or information about a weighted vest or information about how you eat. This is your entire belief system about you, about your whole personhood. And it is all based in the Bible. And if you say, well, gosh, I've heard a verse here and there, it's not that. It is a whole entire picture. And I put it in 6 weeks of a Bible study. I did the heavy lifting for you. I mind it all for you. So this really isn't about selling a Bible study. I'm just telling you it's all in there. That's what I did for, honestly, the better part of a year, is I just went to the Bible and pulled it all out because I needed it for me. And from there, that created whole body theology. But this study is so much not about what I call body topics. This is a step one. And I would consider anything that has to do with movement or what you decide to eat or, you know, what you decide to do about plastic surgery or what you decide to do about rest or work or whatever that has to do with your body, sex, all of that, by the way, it's not just about food. This is whatever your body is, a lot more than just intake of food. Those are all body topics. This is about your whole personhood. You are much more than just the outward person.
What you're speaking to there is so, it just reveals the way we've almost just been programmed to see our bodies as this one compartment, you know, this one thing, the external, how I look to the world, how my packaging looks. And it makes me think, you once shared that bodies that are not understood from their creator will cry out constantly to be changed. And you tackle the idea of making a shift from seeing our bodies as projects and instead understood and embraced them as God's incredible design. Would you say more on that body as a project topic?
Yeah, I mean, I think that quote and that idea speaks for itself. If you have been alive for very long, and this is a male and female issue. I mean, this study was certainly written and geared to women, but men struggle as well. I mean, men are gym rats. They also struggle with body dysmorphia in many ways. Many of us don't see ourselves correctly. And I think we are so myopic and so undereducated scripturally that we see our bodies as unruly, out of line, and need to be whipped into shape. And we set out at an early age to get them fixed, and get them fixed quick, because they are gross and negligent and improper. And how could we possibly take them out in public? We cry over them and we look in the mirror at disgust over them or at photos, and we're embarrassed over them. And it is so sad to our Creator who made them. And yes, we can talk about preservatives in the food, and we can talk about what we're up against in America with extra weight, and we can talk about how we have self-medicated, and all of those things are true and can be true. We can talk about the fact that we don't see ourselves as we really are, and we've gone through abuse in our bodies, and all of those things are also true. It's also true that we have a very real enemy that wants for us to hate our body, because if we can hate this body, then we will work tirelessly to fix our body and fixate on our body so that we won't ever know how loved we are. We won't ever thrive in our gifts. We won't ever have great relationships with others. We won't ever have a thriving sex life in our marriage. We won't ever be free. We'll live in chains. I mean, just think about it. And so Satan hates us looking in the Bible about it. Just stay busy listening to experts and getting more supplements and going on yet another diet plan. Please, please. Because then if you go to scripture and if you learn what the Bible says, you might really get it. Mm. And if you really get it, you might be free. And bodies that are constantly wanting to fix themselves, they'll cry out all the time. And so that's the real story.
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting emotional as you're talking. Clearly, you're striking a nerve in me. I can feel that on behalf of the listener, too. And I was thinking, you know, we've centered some of our conversation on this diet idea. But what about the woman who abuse and trauma is what her body means to her? So maybe it's not about the diet for her. It's about, can I have freedom in my body from this? What would you say to those that are maybe carrying that story as they listen to us today?
I have the best news for her of all. I mean, this is the most amazing thing about whole body theology and scripture and quieting the noise of everything else, is whole body theology leaves no one out. It's because it's not about ability. It's not about the best bodies in the world or the body that has never been violated. The young body, the body that can move around. None of that. And at the end of the day, it's all coming back to love, which has driven all of Christ's decisions regarding our body. And so the woman that has been abused and violated in her body, which has affected the inside out, outside in, all working together, never to be separated. The profoundness of what Christ did in his own body will cover for everything that has ever happened to you. And when you learn the profoundness of what that is, it will shift things for you. It will never take away what has happened. It can never take away what has happened. But I think it will shift the way that you see yourself and so much of the way that we carry things in our body and the way that we then conduct what happens next in the decision making and what we do in our body has to do with our view of our bodies from violations, from injustices. And I know for me to revisit and to learn for the first time the significance of the things that not only the way that Christ purposed my body, but also what he did in his own body in exchange, what I call the glorious exchange. It just did wonders and years for things that had happened to me. And I just believe that it would do the same for a woman who has suffered in her body, or maybe continues to do so.
I love that you're saying it's for everybody, because, of course, my mind also goes to the people that are facing body-related grief because of chronic illness or infertility. When your body doesn't do what you want it to do, it's like we buy this belief that we're less than because we can't do what we used to do. And so just the invitation you're giving women into that piece of that there's hope for us, as always, it always comes back to there is hope for us in Christ, in Christ. I'm curious, for the woman who knows that scripture points to the fact that she was created in the image of God, and she knows that he has made her very good, but she is still struggling. And as she listens today, she's going, gosh, I know these things and I still struggle. And I am struggling to believe that all of what Lisa is saying could be true for me. What would you say to her? And how does she embrace and connect these truths, practically speaking?
Yeah, I think you said a key word there. I think it's the word connect. I think many times we can have heard scripture like, we were created in the image of God, God looking at his creation saying it's very good, but not really know it or not really believe it. I can't force belief on someone. That's just not something I can do. I can serve people with truth, but I can't force feed it to you. But what I can say and what I can suggest is that just because you have heard the Bible, just because you have read scripture, maybe even dozens of times, don't assume that means that you actually know it. Don't assume that means that it has made its way into a belief system that is transformative for your life. So I would ask you to give it a chance in a different way. Sometimes you need people to ask you questions that get to the core of a level in your spirit that helps you really drill down on things. That's why counseling is profound for a lot of folks. That's why Jesus asked questions in scripture. It's not because a sovereign God didn't know the answers. It's because the ultimate great counselor, and we learn from him, asked questions that would get people to go to the core of who they were, to develop understanding. And so that's the kind of thing that something like a study will help you do. I'm not a counselor, but I know the value in following even the footsteps of Jesus and asking profound questions to get you to really drill down on things like Imago Dei. So you can read scripture, but not know it in your heart and not believe it in your heart. And so that's what I would say is, you might have heard these things, but I challenge you to even ask the Lord, do I know this? Do I believe this to be true? Because many times it was a lack of belief by even disciples that caused them to have a disconnect between things that they saw or maybe heard, but didn't really know in their knowing place, which was in their heart. So that could be a problem for somebody.
Yeah. And I love the questions. It really is that. I was able to get through a bulk of your Bible study, and the asking of questions, it's like sitting down. Yes, it's a Bible study, but it is like sitting down with a personal coach, I would say, where it's tapping the voice of the Holy Spirit within you. Like I feel like you will ask one simple question, and then my experience with it was I was hearing the Holy Spirit maybe ask another, where so I would slow down and settle into the material. We just live in such a busy world. So for those of you listening, I just want to encourage you to carve out time. If you're really want freedom in your body, and that is something that you are trying to get through the supplements, the weighted vests, the right doctor, the right, you know, all of that stuff. Those, as Lisa has spoke to, great, good for you for doing some of that stuff. But at the end of the day, give yourself the time, I guess, the ability to press into the heart of God. You can pick up Lisa's study, Body and Soul, anywhere you want. You can go to, I got mine on Amazon. You can get it there. You can go to lisawhittle.com. You can also follow her on social media. And Lisa, I thought it would just be so beautiful as we are closing today. There is this powerful, in your Bible study, you call it the Imago Dei Declaration. Would you read that over our listeners before they leave our time today?
Yeah, I'd love to. And thanks for having me on, Sunny. I am made Imago Dei. Holy known, holy loved, holy free. Not a number, a prop, a performer. Not my past, your opinion, or the weight of my regret. Where Christ's choice to become embodied meets my fearfully and wonderfully made. Body and soul, not body to be fixed. Born to bring and bear goodness, living well in the temple that houses the Spirit of God. Not made to work harder on an image of my own making, but made in the image of God.
Well, thanks for listening to the next Faith-Filled Step right here on Pilgrim Radio. This week, look for one way to respond to what God is revealing in your life. One day, one moment, one decision at a time.